Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The words are enticing. If you are on the fence, they can serve to sway you one side or the other. A buyer's remorse is one thing, but missing out on a quality deal is tough to let go of. Time is ticking away. The sale will not go on forever. Quantities will be gone before you know it. Now is the time to act. You know the tactics. You know the words used to entice. The sense of urgency comes through in our gospel text for today from Luke 13. We find Jesus in a dramatic stretch of quite fascinating instruction. His words, most recent, have cut to the quick, no doubt leaving many of the large groups of people following him upset to the core. Do you think I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Words echoing from last week's text. Before that, Jesus had taught and said to the crowds, "You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of sky and of earth. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" And do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? "No, I tell you," Jesus said, "but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Now, Jesus was not being harsh. He was not being rude or even mean, some may suppose. Jesus was speaking the truth with urgency. What is at stake is the most important matter of all. Salvation for eternal life far beyond this life and this world. Large crowds of people, masses of people were following after Jesus wherever he went throughout the villages and the countryside. It was not because of his sugar-coated speech. There was none. Jesus was not busy speaking words of truth about the kingdom that had been sanitized, so that they could be most appealing to all the masses. Rather, masses of people flooded to Jesus because of what he could do. Heal the sick with a touch. Raise up the dead with a word. Satan's hordes melted before Jesus like a snow cone on a July day. People wanted to see more. Jesus' words were tantalizing, yes, though the crowds could not quite figure out what was going on, what it all meant. And while the large crowd certainly looked like a mark of great success, Jesus knew the truth. In parables, then, Jesus compared his kingdom to that of a mustard seed. It is small. Insignificantly so. And yet it can grow to become many times larger than its initial size. Then he compares the kingdom to that of leaven that a woman puts within her supply of flour. And that tiny bit of leaven works its way through the entire batch of dough. Large crowds, large numbers do not determine the Lord's success. Rather, the Word of God reveals the true kingdom. It is not what the world thinks it should look like. So while he is traveling through towns and villages with his face ever set toward Jerusalem, someone does pose the question to Jesus, an all-important one, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" You see, this unnamed individual had picked up on what Jesus was saying in his teachings. Just because the crowd is large does not mean that they are all there for the proper reason. Strive to enter through the narrow door, Jesus said. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter, but will not be able. Here the Lord Jesus equates eternal life and salvation, entrance into God's great kingdom, to that of a narrow doorway. It's not a wide avenue or a huge gate to receive large masses of people at one time. It is narrow, small, limiting entrance to one at a time. That is, each person has to pass through the door alone. No possessions, no attained wealth or status, no works righteousness whatsoever. Only the self can enter through. How so? How to get through this narrow door? Through repentance, through faith. Just as John the Baptizer, Jesus himself, and all the scriptures have been saying before, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn away from the sin you have known. God demands it, a circumcised heart, one that has been impacted by the word of God. God demands a person to believe in him for all things. And God requires all hearts to believe in Jesus for eternal life granted through the forgiveness of sins. The Bible reveals the good news, the great news, that the narrow doorway to eternal life and salvation stands open now. It is not closed off, as some may assume, or it is too narrow for any to enter. Rather, all who hear the word of Jesus through the very gospel of the Holy Scriptures can find eternal life, can find salvation through repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Repentance and faith in Jesus, that is your entrance through the narrow door. Because that door remains open for a time, you and I need to keep on striving to enter through the door, Jesus says. Now, one may assume then, our continued striving is our duty, our work. But such striving is still repentance and faith. And repentance and faith is not our doing, not our work, but is God's work. He makes it possible through his own precious word. The Holy Spirit himself creates and sustains our faith through the very word, working through our ears and into our hearts. Even our striving is God's own doing. We are more than happy to allow this working of his great deed within us. So that door stands open for now. The door open because of Jesus and him crucified. The payment for all of our sins made. That openness is for a limited time only. When you and I die, the door is shut. Which side will you be on when that door closes for you? Which side are you on now? Only you and only God know for sure. When the Lord Jesus does return on the last day, the door will be shut forevermore, as Jesus depicts in his own words. Many will stand at that door and beg to be let back in. These are not the heathen. These are not the abject atheists or unbelievers of this world. These are those who ate and drank with Jesus, listened to his teaching in the midst of their own towns and homes. These are those who loved Jesus as a friend, a buddy, a coach, a good teacher. These are those who came to church but were always met with words of sweet talking false prophets who failed to deliver God's message of judgment and his message of hope and salvation through his crucified Son. In Jesus' day, it was many of the Jews who felt that they had an automatic entry into God's great kingdom because of their ancestry. But in today's world, in our context, they are those who have claimed belief in Jesus, but have let it lapse into works righteousness, into self-worship. That danger is all too real for us as well. While you and I still draw breath, that sinner inside of us is still tempted to let go of Jesus, to find comfort, security here, in our own hearts, in our own efforts. The devil, the world, our own sinful flesh want you to think you are now good enough. You have advanced enough. You care enough for others. You have contributed enough to God's kingdom. All of these things you and I have been tempted to do, and all of these things you and I have even done. But no matter what you have done, no matter what you have left undone for God or for others, Jesus alone gives eternal life. From the moment you first believed until that moment your heart stops beating. Faith in Jesus alone gives forgiveness and gives salvation from sin. Those who look like they should be first through that eternal doorway shall be left outside of it. And those whom the world believes to be fools shall be granted admittance into the eternal kingdom. For now, the door stands open. But it is for a limited time. The offer cannot last forever. Time will finally run out. After all, the party has to get started. The wedding feast of the Lamb is soon to begin, the Scriptures say. And when that time that God has appointed does finally come, the festival shall commence. People will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. Isaiah foresaw it in his 66th chapter. The Lord Jesus confirmed it. God wants all people to be saved, to come to a knowledge of the truth. And those who believe in Jesus alone for their salvation shall be in that kingdom, reclining at table forevermore. And they will be from all over the world. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, forefathers of the faith, all the prophets will be joined by Peter, James, and John, and all the apostles, along with all those who are baptized, who bear the seal of Jesus Christ, of Him crucified, who are clothed in the holiness of His sacred blood. The door to the great feast stands open for a limited time. But for those who enter through that narrow door, those who are baptized in Jesus, fed His body and His blood for you, the feast will last forever. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Amen. The peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.